So the Emmy nominations came out a day after we recorded Keep It. So we're back with a bonus episode of Keep It. I'm Ira Madison III.
I'm Louis. No, I'm not Louis Fertel. I'm Emmy nominee Louis Fertel. And I better be addressed as such for the rest of my tenure on Keep It, by you specifically.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't see it in the cards, I have to say.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Also, the amount of scrolling I did to get to the category and like clicking over between tabs, etc. Yeah, the Kimmel writers are nominated for Outstanding Writing for a Variety Series for the Oscars this year, which is very exciting. And yes, I feel exactly like Cloris Leachman. I know this is what was going through her head every time she was nominated. Gilda Radner, all my faves.
This is your first nomination?
Yeah, the Kimmel's been nominated for a Variety Series a number of times. Never for Variety Writing, though. And they just cut down the nominees in both those categories, interestingly. Actually, okay. My takeaway from the Emmy nominations is they cut down a lot of categories, and I am happy to see it.
Well, you know what? The Emmys were a little bit of a mess with the rollout today. I want to say that every website I looked at had random nominees that I feel like weren't actually nominated. I think Variety at one point was telling me that The Gentlemen was nominated for Best Comedy Series. And I was like, huh?
Come again?
Yeah. And then I discovered Theo James was nominated for Best Actor in a Comedy Series for The Gentlemen. So some chicanery did sneak in there.
How interesting. Yeah, looking at the, I guess we'll just start at the top. Lead actor in a drama series. You've got your Idris Elba, Donald Glover, Walton Goggins. Gary Oldman writes Slow Horses, a show. Hiroyuki Sanada for Shogun. That might be my choice to win. I feel like Shogun is the most exciting show of the year.
Yes, I am very excited to finally watch Shogun. I have not seen it yet. The girls have been talking, and I'm ready to listen. I was waiting for a white body of men to tell me that the show is good.
Oh, right. Well, I'm the whitest body of them all, and watch me go. I will say about this show, I guess it's the first time ever in fashion history where the fits were popping. I had no idea that Japan was going this hard with the fashions at that time.
Yeah, the fashion looks good. I mean, I'm really excited just about all the clips that I've seen. I have sort of been in a space where I haven't been diving into serious dramas, if that makes sense. You know, I feel like coming out of the pandemic, I was still in a reality TV show mode. And then I was in a comfort comedy mode where I've just mostly been rewatching comedies that I've seen already.
Oh, me too. No, likewise.
And now I feel like I'm ready for like serious drama. You know, I'm already watching stupid drama, as in I watch House of Dragon every week.
Right.
So if I can do the idiocy, then I should be able to watch Shogun. I also am excited to get into Interview with the Vampire, which is not represented here.
Well, I'll say this about stupid dramas. The Emmys hear you, because lead actor in a drama series, both Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon got in for The Morning Show. And we haven't used the word payola in about 50 years. Guys, what is going on here? What is happening?
You want to talk about payola?
Yeah, these are talented women. I've seen many of their Emmy award winning and or Emmy nominated and or Oscar nominated turns. This show is like a comic book in terms of how zany it goes.
I mean, if you want to talk about payola as well, Palm Royale.
Palm Royale has all the ingredients of a great show, and then it forgot to be interesting. What happened? It's like, I always say, if a curse was placed on Kristen Wiig and all she could do for the rest of her life, and I know this is a comedy show, but if all she had to, was allowed to do was drama, we would all be, I think, even richer for it, because she's such an amazing actress. I'm happy she's getting this moment on a TV show to prove she's just a fabulous actor and a reliable performer. But yeah, to me, it lost steam somewhat immediately. I'm happy Carol Burnett got the work and is, you know, doing something new, but not a show for me.
Okay, so once again, I am very confused because multiple outlets are saying that Theo James is nominated for The Gentlemen, and yet he's not on the official Emmy's website. So what is going on in the reporting here? Let's talk about election integrity in the Emmys.
Please, please. The voting machines, et cetera. Get Mike Lindell down here. I can't even say those two words without thinking of work. I've had to write jokes about Mike Lindell up, down, back, and diagonally for the past 3 years. Anyway.
She's back. She's back. She's back in the news, baby.
lead actor in a comedy series. We've got Matt Berry from What We Do in the Shadows. Okay. Larry David, Curb Your Enthusiasm. My God, this is somebody who's been... This show is still... It to me, it's like hearing that like Bonanza is still getting nominated for Emmys or something. Like, Jesus Christ, it's been 175 years. Both Steve Martin and Martin Short are nominated for Only Murders in the Building. Jeremy Allen White for The Bear, which, as you know, I'm still laughing. And DeFaro Wunatai for Reservation Dogs. By the way, we should just move ahead to the most, I'll say, provocative nomination of the evening. And Selena Gomez is nominated for lead actress in Only Murders in the Building. Now, that is some wizarding from Waverly Place I did not expect.
Baby.
It has been a huge, prestigious year for her.
Let me tell you something. I have always kept an eye out for Selena, okay? Never discount Mirena, all right? She is... She has been slaying the year. I'm shocked. I'm also unaware of the talents that she's brought to this show because I have not watched Only Murder since the first season. But I think I'm going to catch up. Because I actually have always said that I think that Selena Gomez's best skill is comedic acting.
Right. I mean, that's where she came from, obviously. Also, I do have to say about Only Murders in the Building, there's something just aesthetically about it that I do find very pleasing and also not contrived. The feel of that show is one of a kind. I like that. And also, of course, they bring in these A-list talents, like not just Meryl Streep, like Jane Lynch was really fabulous.
Only stars in the building.
If you will, if you will. Let's do lead actress in the comedy series. You got Quinta Brunson, who won last year. Iowa Debris is lead actress in a comedy series this year. How interesting for The Bear. Selena Gomez, Maya Rudolph in Loot. All right. Jean Smart in Hacks and Kristen Wiig in Palm Royale. I'm going to go Jean Smart again. I feel like Jean Smart is going to come back to the throne for this one.
Yeah, I could see. Did Aya won last year for supporting, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and I don't know. I feel like she had her big year. Quinta had her big year. Obviously, Ayo could take it again. But, you know, I kind of agree with you that maybe we're looking for a Jean Smart win again. Hacks was just too juicy this year.
And also, she's so eminently awardable. I mean, somebody where if you know anything about television or entertainment, she has lots of fabulous movie roles too. You can't not have five favorite Jean Smart roles. And I feel like only one Emmy for this series when she's such a dominating force on it and so believable feels incorrect. So I can see her winning again. Now, comedy series is Abbott Elementary, The Bear, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Hacks, Only Murders in the Building, Palm Royale. Palm Royale for best series.
Girl, I told you, put money in thy purse. Okay, yeah. That's what was happening with these nominations.
Call Dick Clark. I want to know what's going on. Reservation Dogs and What We Do in the Shadows. Now, What We Do in the Shadows, that would be a radical and I think a much lauded choice if they did go for it. That said, God, I guess we're looking at The Bear again. Though this current, I guess this current season, the one that just came out, which is getting kind of middling reviews, is not the one being graded. It's the one before, right? So maybe The Bear or maybe Hacks.
This season of The Bear is getting middling reviews?
Yes.
I sort of don't pay attention to anything going on with The Bear. If a bear is in the woods and Jeremy Allen White is making a sandwich and no one sees it, and by no one I mean me, did it happen?
Who are you, Aesop? What was that? Okay. I learned something, I think. Actually, this is one of the best categories. Lead actor in a limited or anthology series, Matt Bomer for Fellow Travelers, Richard Gadd for Baby Reindeer, which cleaned up. Baby Reindeer is all over these nominations. John Hamm for Fargo, Tom Hollander, our friend, for Feud, Capote versus the Swans, and Andrew Scott for Ripley. I feel like Richard Gadd is going to take it. I feel like that was the limited series that really captured people's imaginations and shocked people because you thought it was about one thing and then it picks three other plot complications that make it such a strange psychological spelunking expedition.
Plus, when it comes to, you know, American award shows, they really love to award a British person for popping in, doing a thing, and then never talk about them again.
I'm so glad I could catch you between your commentary on Wimbledon games or whoever that person is.
I'm watching it mute behind
okay.
us. No, it does seem, I mean, we've joked about this before, but, and you know, the internationalness of it all, particularly with British people being nominated. But I mean, wouldn't it kind of suck to be an actor in the U.S. and just come on in, they win their shit, and then they bounce?
Right. And there's just something about them we immediately associate with prestige because there's a flash mm-hmm. of wit about them. And TBH, we don't have that here. So we're right to do that. But
yeah, I mean, I was talking with a British guy this weekend and he was just musing, you know, generally on British TV and like Fleabag and Andrew Scott and that stuff. And it was just sort of like, it is random that that show just sort of popped off and got so big. And he was like, my parents watched that show, you know? And I think that like when it came over here, there's just a thing about like a British show that does make it to our airwaves. We tend to pay attention to it a little bit more and then in turn make it bigger internationally than we sort of do for our own shows or the way our own shows even hit in like the UK.
I do think there was something about that show where once it got over here, people thought, well, it must be amazing. I mean, what the hell is this show? It's so simple. How could it be that good? And then everybody tuned in and of course still love her. And I can't wait for her to do her second project. What is she doing? Come on back.
Lara Croft, baby.
Whenever we get that. Alicia Vikander found upset. I think she was hoping for another installment.
Okay, wait. Also, we made a joke about where the fuck Alicia Vikander is a few weeks ago. And then I feel like she popped up in the news the very next day. Maybe she's pregnant. Maybe she's doing something. I don't know.
She was amazing in Irma Vep. I want to be clear about that. If anybody hasn't seen Irma Vep, the miniseries adaptation of the Assayas movie, it is so fucking good and very strange.
It was that Alicia Vikander, who I always forget, is together with Michael Fassbender, that they're right. going to be working together on a project for the first time since the project that they met on.
Excellent. He was unfortunately extremely good in that movie, The Killer, on Netflix, which was basically four scenes of him sniping, but okay. Lead actress in a limited or anthology series, Jodie Foster. Talk about somebody who's had a prestigious jump this year with Naiad and now mm-hmm. True Detective, Night Country, Brie Larson in Lessons in Chemistry, Juno Temple in Fargo, Sofia Vergara in Griselda. I saw the billboards. And Naomi Watts in Feud, Capote versus the Swans. Darling Nay, finally getting some Emmy credibility.
Baby, let me tell you, my money's on Drug Lord Griselda. Used to move weight through Delta. Okay? That's a Nicki Minaj lyric that predates Griselda the TV series. So she's in the pop culture sphere. Like people wow. knew who Griselda was before the show. And I feel like that show was, maybe it's died down a bit, but everybody was talking about Griselda. And I feel like everyone was talking about that big turn that she had to playing drama.
Also, it must be said, I rewatched, I'll say, 15 episodes of Modern Family while I was in Fire Island recently. Talk about a show. I mean, like, we talk about how we rewatch 30 Rock all the time. You can put on Modern Family and roll through it and, like, laugh consistently. It's a very consistently funny show.
15 in Fire Island? Is that what y'all faggots was doing?
Girl, the episodes are short. I'm telling you, it's like a vignette. She never won an Emmy for that show, whereas Julie Bowen wow. won two. And when you watch Sofia Vergara on that show, never not getting the laugh. Never like mm-hmm. an awkward delivery. She is an A performance every time. She's amazing on that show.
I did not watch Lessons in Chemistry, although I did watch the first like 20 minutes of it because I said Brie Larson and the concept seems good. And then I got distracted and never came back to it, which happens on Apple TV all the time because it's just there.
There's something about TV where if there isn't a sustained conversation about a given show, you give your, especially if you're people like you and I, who it's like, we consume all that we can within reason. You know, it's like, if we can get rid of, if we can take something off of our plate that isn't going to make a dent otherwise, it's like, unfortunately, when it comes to like hours and hours of one show, we're likely to miss it, you know?
Yeah, it's very weird because I feel like when people ask us about TV series, even this week, right? When I was referring to Shannen Doherty, I can recall moments from Beverly Hills 90210 and Charmed even. There was a period where kids who were growing up who were really in the popular culture, all we did was watch everything that was on TV. Like we would watch a CBS sitcom, you know, that was meant for adults, and the one that's been on for like one season, it was canceled, but we remember it. And now there's just so much shit on. And I feel like you don't need to watch everything anymore to be a part of the conversation. And I wonder, for even shows like that, what is the point of them? Because who is having the conversation? Who's having a Waller cooler about Brie Larson in Lessons in Chemistry? You know,
I hate to put it that way, but it is like, what is the shelf life of a show like that? It's interesting. But then again, maybe people discover it at a later date. That seems to happen with a lot of TV. Who knows? Limited or anthology series, Baby Reindeer, Fargo, Lessons in Chemistry, Ripley, True Detective, Night Country. I will say, Ripley enjoyed the entire thing, and yet I still felt it could have been 3 episodes shorter.
Mm-hmm.
I think Baby Reindeer is the one that sticks with people. And unfortunately, when something has that zeitgeisty feel of not just people are enjoying it, but it's picking up and you have to tell somebody to see it, I think that's what's going to win ultimately. It's the most exciting of these nominees.
Well, as you know, I hated Ripley, so we'll just move on from that.
Did you really hate it?
I just stopped watching it. I really wasn't into it at all. I didn't dig it. And it is strong. I don't like to spew vitriol like that towards a show that wasn't offensively bad or didn't, you know, like it not like it did anything to me personally. And I really truly love most of the people involved in it, but I just didn't dig it. It wasn't for me.
Well, then we will move on. Outstanding talk series. Now, see, this is necessarily a cut down category. There are always like 5 in this category before, and there just aren't that many talk shows. But it's The Daily Show, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Late Night with Seth Meyers, Late Show with Stephen Colbert. I guess it's going to be Stephen Colbert. I don't know. I mean, I think you need to get the writing nomination to make that happen. And as you know, I'm not a double nominee. You know, if Seth Meyers got it, I'd be thrilled. I mean, I would be thrilled to write for Seth Meyers. I mean, in another universe.
You throw your pitch out there?
That's right. Please, sir. I want to live in Hell's Kitchen.
I think you'd do well there.
I went to a bunch of bars there, and I went to 3 bars in a row, and I'm telling you, I thought all 3 of them were the same bar. It was like an optical illusion.
Yeah, I mean, we don't go out in Hell's Kitchen, but, you know, I think you do well living there.
Oh, right. Well, thank you. I hope that's not shady. It seems like everything's in Brooklyn nowadays, where people want to go and hang out.
Yeah. Some things I'm really excited about. Over in the animation category, X-Men 97.
Great. Everybody loves that.
Yeah. Also, Bob's Burgers is nominated, and I keep forgetting that's still on.
Right. Another show that's been on since I think I was 4. Like, it makes no sense.
Yeah. And this is for the history books, baby. Nominated for Best Choreography in a Scripted Series, The Idol.
Woo! I'm trying to think of the choreographed
moments. For that jam. For that jam. Yeah, I'm Just a Freak, world-class center. That is the only thing that people, that is truly the lasting impact of that series, I feel like. Like, that song played for months in gay bars and at parties well after that show was canceled and no one thought about it anymore. I think that to have that choreography nominated is perfect for that show's legacy.
That is true. I definitely concur. I'm just going to glance sparingly over the supporting actor in drama and comedy series. And all right, Carol Burnett being nominated. Interesting. I feel like Hannah Einbinder, it could be her year to win. I feel like that's a character that's really grown with people over time. Like, you know, when the show premiered, Jean Smart was obviously the marquee figure, but it's a little, you know what I'll compare it to? Rose Byrne on Damages. It was like, Glenn Close is this doyen who's like dominating every scene, kind of chewing the scenery, but also eating. And then who's this person who's simpering near her? She can't possibly be as good. Oh, wait, there's a quiet integrity and Machiavellian quality to this woman. So anyway.
Can I say, I love you for using one of my favorite words.
Machiavellian. I'm like Tupac. Machiavellian, I, you know. Oh, go ahead.
Doyen.
Oh, yeah. Great word. Yes.
Cate Blanchett, obviously always referred to as the doyen of her home country because of her, you know, theater involvement.
Right. When I think doyen, I think, I mean, it's got to be a French person. It's got to be Miss Juliette Binoche.
Yeah. And I never actually really thought to compare Hacks and Damages. And now I feel like I want to do a rewatch of Damages with a closer look at Hacks.
Please. That's like my dream assignment. I do think it's one of those shows where every successive season gets a little bit worse, but it starts off really high. So there's a long ways for it to fall.
I mean, that one season where I feel like Rose Byrne wakes up and like her boyfriend's or something, it's like just she's covered in blood. She was covered in blood in the beginning of the series, of course, but then there's another one where it's like, oh, who does she murder someone again? And I'm like, we're going to the well a bit much here. But you really can't. I made this joke when we talked about sort of pairing Glenn Close with Glenn Powell, but I feel like you really sort of can't go wrong with a mentor-mentee series of that ilk.
Right. No, I think those things always, it's like Whiplash or something, you know, like there's something very interesting about they need each other, they're teaching each other, but also there's friction and my favorite word, toxicity.
It's queer coded.
Yes, queer coded. Yes, of course.
JK wanted to fuck him. All right.
All right. Okay. I want to hear that interesting essay for McSweeney's you could write for us. Supporting actor in a limited anthology series. Lots of interesting choices here. But Jonathan Bailey for Fellow Travelers. All right. I just saw a video of him and fellow nominee Andrew Scott carrying Kylie Minogue to the stage. I'm sorry to borrow Mean Girls terminology, but we've outgayed ourselves. I mean, I didn't know we could.
I think Kylie saw I Kissed a Boy and said, that's enough of that, Danny.
Yeah. Also, that's enough of that, Danny, because half of Danny's dialogue is referencing Kylie Minogue songs.
Oh, when we got to the reunion and sort of like the finale of the series too, when they were finally picking their couples and deciding if they were going to be out in the real world together, every 5 minutes, Danny going, padam, 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 my heart. And I was like, girl, give it a rest.
Oh, I will say, in Outstanding Guest Actress in a Comedy Series, Devine Joy Randolph, nominated for Only Murders in the Building. Love to see that. Mm. And also, would love to see her on Keep It, the podcast. Devine Joy Randolph, where are you? Yale's own Devine Joy Randolph, come hang out.
Yeah. I did not know that she was hanging out on Only Murders.
Yes, according to this, she is. That's right.
Okay, well, then I'm going to have to get into this Only Murders gig. Devine, Selena Gomez, Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep. Ratatouille ass.
Has she ever played Latina?
Yes, in Bridges of Madison County.
Okay, all right. I love when my white women do that.
Yeah. Oh, the La Isla Bonita effect. Yes.
Yeah. Let us not forget. Who was it? Oh, Angelina Jolie and A Mighty Heart.
You're right. Oh, the stills of it alone are so out of something like Tropic Thunder. So funny. And we'll just wrap this up by saying, outstanding host for a reality competition or program. That rain is not letting up for RuPaul, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't see that, you know, slipping out of his fingers. But also, I want to say, I see the Traitors might win for competition show.
Alan Cumming is there, too. And he is, as you know, lost in a whodunit and running the whole shebang. He's like Tim Curry times being openly gay. That's what he is. That is what Alan Cumming is.
It's gotten close, but the Traitors could stand to be as zany as Clue.
Right. And I'm wondering what the secret ingredient to that is. More running around, I guess.
Yes. I think that there actually isn't enough, because the funniest thing is in Clue is watching them run from room to room.
Right.
And I think that if you had a round table And then all of a sudden they were deliberating and Alan Cumming was like, well, I do want to let you all know there is a shield that protects you from being banished, hidden in the house, and you have 20 minutes to find it. And then they all start running. That would be funny.
Or if he was like, if they were on the top floor of the building and he's like, and it's in my hand and there it goes. And he tosses it out the window and then they all have to go run and get it. Do you know what the traitors needs? Fancy costuming. They really should be dressed like their guests at a mansion party as opposed to like the athleisure they all fucking walk around in.
I feel like there are some people who come in and deliver, like we're in this castle and they're trying to give you outfits, thinking Parvati's headbands, Tamra Judge before she died early, but was giving you some sort of, you know, British countryside looks. Who knows what Peppermint had in that trunk?
Before Trishel said, enough.
Enough, sister. All right. Well, this is the Emmys.
All right. And I'm among them.
Yeah. Emmy nominated Louis Vertel, ladies and gentlemen. Yes.
I keep calling myself things like Valerie Harper. I get confused with all the other Emmy nominees. Gene Smart. No, that's not me. Louis.
I mean, the way that you have your women on your wall, you know, there's some Keep It listener that probably has a printout of your headshot in black and white, and it's just hanging behind them, and their coworkers see it on Zoom.
Your lips to God's ears. If that person would like to show himself, herself, their self, would love to meet them from afar over Zoom.
Let's hope it's not an Annie Baker.
Right.
what's her real last name? Annie Wells. Annie Baker's the playwright. Sorry. Yes. I love you, Annie Baker. Anyway, that's our episode, our bonus episode, and those are the Emmy nominations. We'll see you next week. Don't forget to follow Crooked Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.
You can also subscribe to Keep It on YouTube for access to full episodes and other exclusive content. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a review.
Keep It is a Crooked Media production. Our producers are CJ Siege Polkinghorne and Chris Lord, and our associate producer is Kennedy Hill. Our executive producers are Ira Madison III, Louis Vertel, and Kendra James.
Our digital team is Megan Patzel, Claudia Sheng, and Rachel Gajewski. This episode was recorded and mixed by Evan Sutton. Thank you to Matt DeGroat, David Tolles, Kyle Seglin, and Charlotte Landis for production support every week.